Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:16 p.m. Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 8th. And the UK election forecast has come out in the last 15 minutes, and it is looking like we may be heading for a hung parliament. And that has had a direct impact on the pound. This is looking like a pretty uncomfortable situation for Theresa May. She is either going to have to be resign, or she's going to have to try and form a government. But she may be she may not have the support of her own party, having taken this gamble and failed. That it was a calculated risk, and in many respects, it could have been considered probably the right thing to do, considering that so many people in Parliament had been against Brexit. That she should go to the people, but. They have returned the verdict that she ran a bad campaign and that she may not be the best person to negotiate the process. That's something that will have to be considered. Of course, the anti-Brexit people will be saying that she no longer has a mandate, and that by not giving the Conservatives a majority, that she may now no longer have the mandate to even negotiate Brexit. So. This is a rather tense environment. The most important thing is that the pound has pulled back, and from that 130 area, it is now trading just below the 200-day moving average, but this is a downward dynamic. It is going to have to be another rerun of the 2015 environment where the exit polls were wrong in order for the pound to recoup its losses, and that's an important point right now. When we look at the euro versus the pound, of course, today we also had Mario Draghi speaking, and one of the things that he was saying was that it is less likely that the ECB is going to lower interest rates, but that they are not yet ready to remove quantitative easing. He was also talking about the fact that a lot of the jobs that are being created are low paying. And I also saw this chart on a Maybank report, and I always look for velocity of money data because it is so difficult to come by. And what I found particularly interesting was the fact that it isn't just a US phenomenon that velocity of money has been coming down since 1998. It's around 1997 that US data peaked, but that it is something that has been happening in the Eurozone and in Japan and in China. And what we can also see is that the response of central banks and indeed consumers has been to increase their debt load as the velocity of money has deteriorated. The other way of thinking about it is that the one of the only ways that we could ever come up with to combat this build-up of debt is to increase the velocity of money, and that means real GDP growth, real economic activity, not the kind of economic activity that is generated from financial engineering, but that you have to get people out and spending and really boisterous activity. And there's been a distinct absence of that. A lot of the growth that we've had has been debt-fueled, and certainly the debt-to-GDP ratios today are considerably worse than they were 20 years ago. Part of the reason that people are therefore looking at the rate at which people are being paid, but of course that is running straight into the technological innovation. And we could also begin to consider that part of the reason that you are having these political upsets, part of the reason that there is such polarization within the political process, not only in the US but in a whole number of countries, is as a direct response to that fact that the velocity of money has been deteriorating for 20 years, and that we have lower standards of living for a considerable portion of the population. Now, the pound had been hovering here in the region of the progression of lower rally highs, but it has broken them today. It is now trading around this 88 level, and it would really have to fail at these levels. In other words, it is another instance of that the exit polls would have to be clearly wrong, and that the Conservatives would have to retain their majority. It is looking like we're going to be in for some additional volatility from the UK political apparatus, and that is unlikely to be positive for the currency markets. It may take a short-term hit in terms of the performance of the stock market as well. If we look at where the UK FTSE 100 future is trading, it actually hasn't trade. It's no longer trading, so we're not going to find out exactly what's happening tomorrow. It was in until tomorrow. It was in marginally negative territory. There is a short-term overbought condition, so it is likely that that is going to be unwound. But when we look at, for example, what is currently the situation, that we've had some pause and consolidation, but that the potential for an upset and some additional pressure coming into the political situation in the UK is probably going to have a negative effect for the UK stock market in the short term. But depending on how weak that currency gets, that should act as a head, excuse me, as a tailwind, so that in nominal terms, prices could begin to go back up. And when we look at the AIM 100, having been in positive territory today, that is probably not enough to derail the potential for some additional consolidation, but it has been so rivetingly consistent that some consolidation of that gain, considering that it is really quite a large overbought condition, would probably be healthy and offer an attractive buying opportunity for the medium term. When we look at the gold price, it had pulled back over the last couple of sessions, but as we enter the new trading session after 2 p.m. Pacific time, or more particularly after 10 p.m. UK time, it is quite steady. Oil prices, having been really quite weak over the last few sessions, were reasonably steady in here today, but this remains a very volatile, rangy environment. So we can anticipate that that is probably the prognosis, that we're going to have a very volatile environment for oil prices for the foreseeable future. In the commodity complex, copper prices were really quite firm today. Now, whether we're going to have some additional volatility in tomorrow is perhaps open to question, but it's hard to imagine why copper would be overly influenced by what happens in the UK election. The most important thing is that it is firming from this $2.50 area, and that is representative of the region of the trend mean, that this has been a first step above this type 2 bottom, or a period of right-hand extension following the massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and it is finding support at exactly where it needed to. So that is really quite positive. When we look at the Nasdaq, then it had a little bit of backing and filling today. It was down off the open, but was able to recoup the entire decline, and then finished in mildly positive territory. So it is somewhat overbought in the short term, but there has been a distinct absence of downward dynamics, and any kind of downdraft that we've had hasn't been held beyond 24 hours. And the minimum requirement, therefore, for more than or anything more than a short-term peak would be a clear downward dynamic that is completely obvious on a daily or even a weekly chart that is held beyond 24 hours. And when we look at some of the large cap brand name type shares like Amazon, they continue to hold in this $1,000 level, and so does Google. It's also paused around that 1,000 level, but there has been a distinct absence of downward dynamics. And meanwhile, momentum shares like Tesla was up another $10 in here today. So this is a spectacular breakout from a well-defined trading range, and there is no evidence that it is over just yet, despite the fact that it is becoming increasingly overextended. But that is exactly what we would expect from such a lengthy trading range. A range is an explosion waiting to happen, and there's no doubt that this is exploding on the upside. When we cast our glance somewhat wider, the Korean market has paused a little bit, but this has been a very lengthy range, and it has been an explosive breakout. The Taiwanese market is now trading above 10,000. It's at its highest level since 1990, and this really does have the potential to represent a move up and out of what has been just an incredibly volatile trading range over the last 27 years. When we look at the at small cap indices, we looked at the AIM 100, and the Russell 2000 has done pretty much nothing this year so far, but it is now back testing the upper side of its range. It was up in a robust manner today, and then a clear downward dynamic would require to question that it isn't going to break out in much the same way that the S&P 500 was able to. And if we look at the second section index in Japan, that has also done, has been doing spectacularly well until it pulled back in April, and it has now got all the way back up to test that high. I think the most likely scenario is that we are going to have some additional consolidation in this region, but that is likely to just achieve a reversion back to the mean, and that would be rather healthy in terms of the consistency of the overall advance. US Treasuries are trading, are still trading around the 155 area, and the big question is the extent to which they're going to be able to push on the upside. That there are a significant number of bond bulls will have been looking at that low back that we saw in early March and thinking that this was a buy the dips type strategy, and that has been the most effective strategy since 1981. It is going to have to be seen to fail to confirm that we've seen a peak of more than short-term significance in bond prices. So what happens at this 155 level really is important. But if we go back and think about those velocity of money charts and the debt-to-GDP ratios, we have had a substantial increase in the quantity of debt. The supply of debt has increased substantially. And if we are moving into an interest rate hiking cycle, then the refinancing cost of that debt is going to be really quite an issue, considering that there is so much of it about, and the cost of refinancing in a higher interest rate environment is going to be non-trivial. And there's a great deal of debt has to be refinanced in the next 4 years. So then the ability of prices to rally and then sustain rallies is certainly something that is worthy of consideration. Of course, there is the additional prospect that additional bouts of quantitative easing are employed and that debt-to-GDP ratios go out even further. So that is something that cannot be discounted entirely. And that is why I think this year is going to be so important, because there are some very large questions being asked of central banks, and just what they are going to do with the size of their balance sheets. It's looking increasingly likely that they're not going to be able to bring them back to anything close to the kind of levels that they were before the financial crisis, but rather that they're going to be very, very tentative indeed. It is also rather questionable whether they can even raise interest rates if they're shrinking the size of the balance sheet. So we could be in for an environment where we could have a very choppy environment in government bond prices, and that we could be in a lengthy ranging phase for yields. And what happens in the next week or two around this 155 level will largely inform that view, I suspect. When we look at the dollar, and I think most particularly against the euro, that it has fallen, or the euro has been really quite firm, but it is beginning to encounter resistance around this 112 area, and the upper side of the range is closer to 115. But with the kind of uncertainty that is beginning to arise, then the dollar has probably been falling for long enough, and it is getting increasingly difficult for the euro to be able to continue to extend its rally as it approaches the upper side of this range, so it is looking increasingly risky. And I think that if we go back and just take one last look at what's happening with the pound, then it is down about 2 cents. It is off the low, but not in a dynamic manner. In fact, it's only barely off the low. So we can anticipate that there is going to be some additional volatility in UK assets tomorrow. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.